What can I do about my gambling addiction? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. No, I do not have a gambling. That was the question.
Sure sounded like you did.
Yeah, I did. I thought about that after I said that in the opening part of the program. Before you go out and tell your friends, some of you will do it with great delight. I do not have a gambling addiction.
But I will pray for you along those lines just in case.
You know, we had somebody that put a lottery ticket in our offering plate. In fact, it happened on a number of occasions at our church where I was the pastor. Mm-hmm. And we had a major debate about what we would do if one of those lottery tickets that somebody put in the offering plate won. We decided it was tainted money, just ain't enough. Oh, that's terrible. But we really did. I mean, the question, the odds are, that's a sucker's game, by the way.
Yeah.
But what if one of them won? Could we then? Of course, that's another issue altogether. by the way, my pastor Keith Allenson is here. He has a cold, the result of his sin. You know, every time I say that, I get a bad cold. I wish I hadn't said it. Keith Allenson, my pastor is here from a very busy schedule. Appreciate your coming in, Warren. You know. We love to get your questions. You do have to write them down. Send them to Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada Post Office Box 3215, Old Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always get a response on the broadcast or in the magazine. Or a response from me or a staff member, but you got to write them down. Don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can make orders. You can get the tapes free, get the magazine, the booklets free. You can make a contribution, but you got to write the questions down. And we love to get your questions. Why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these.
You got it. Our Father, we bow in your presence today, grateful to belong to you, to know that we are people who are greatly pursued by you, that you made us and designed us in order to relate to you, and then you redeemed us when we went away. Father, thank you for your great love for us, and we honor you and praise you, and Lord, we ask that as we get ready to worship this weekend, whatever night this weekend, whatever day this weekend, we do pray that you would lead us to be prepared in our hearts and our minds to give you the honor and praise you deserve. Father, we do pray for our leaders, our priests and pastors and teachers and pastors' families and kids. Lord, we just do pray that you would be with all of those who are going to be standing in your stead, speaking to us. We pray that you would give them the words and that we would have the heart to receive it and to know what you're doing in our lives. We ask now that in this brief time where we answer some questions, that, Lord, you might take these answers and use them for the good of your people, for your honor and your glory. Draw us closer to you, as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pete, well, generally, let me explain to people how we do that. We have a staff person who lists on a numbers of pages, just the question, where it came from, the state, if it's an email. And we don't ever see the letters, or we don't see the letters that are involved with these questions.
Mm-hmm.
But the staff person who's responsible for that, Robin, had a letter sitting here in the studio, and she said, this is maybe something you want to deal with quickly. And so I brought it up. It is a letter, and I hold the letter in my hand, but it is anonymous. Dear Steve, tonight I got the bad news from a friend that perhaps I have a problem. He feels that my fondness for casino games is beyond simple entertainment. He may well be on target. If you have any suggestions on how a person can deal with this type of problem, it probably would help me a lot. Most likely a lot of other folks could use some straight talk about how to get off the thin ice around casinos. I am a serious Christian. However, I've let my interest in chance become too important to help. Hope you accept anonymous questions.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I love that he was willing to begin to confront a difficult issue.
Really good.
What, have you ever dealt with anybody who was an addicted gambler?
My father.
Ah.
Yeah, I love my father, but he was very good. He was a pool shark, and he very much addicted to games of chance, and sometimes the family suffered because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we mentioned that, I asked you if you thought we ought to read this letter on the air, and you said, yeah. And then I said, well, how do you deal with it? You said, just like any addiction.
You know, I think so. I think there are fine nuances of difference about how you go approaching individual addictions. I've got a friend who was telling me the other day that since he became a Christian, God's helped him to overcome 4 addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarettes, alcohol, pornography, and drugs.
Man.
And I just loved his honesty and vulnerability.
Oh, yeah.
But the power is there to do that. But I think it is interesting to note that some people with certain addictions, if they have one addiction, they might have another.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some addictive temperaments and personalities. But there's got to be an organization out there, Gamblers Anonymous. Is there by that name?
Yes, there is. And I would say, he mentions his friend who confronted him.
Yeah.
That's a friend that you ought to value very highly.
That's right.
And you ought to say, look, you're right, I need some help, you're going to have to hold me. You know, I just thought, before you begin to deal with your addiction, you've got to first deal with grace.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to understand, addictions are by their very definition obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not dealt with easily. And if you start with thinking, if I don't do this, God is going to strike me down with a lightning bolt, and he thinks I'm ugly and my mother dresses me funny, I will never do this again, you're going to do it again, and it's probably not going to get healed. So I'd first say, before we talk about the things that we were talking about, understand that God, if you're a believer, and he says he is, that God loves you totally without condition, and if you've never dealt with your condition, he would still love you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to understand that in a very deep and profound way, which helps to take the obsessiveness away from it, and then say, but this is messing up your life,
mm-hmm.
messing up your walk with Christ. You're obviously guilty, or you wouldn't have written the letter. It's bothering you big time,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need this.
That's right.
So do something about it.
Yeah.
So start with your friend. Have an accountable partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
look for Gamblers Anonymous.
Yeah, you know, and maybe it will stop with his friend. Maybe it's not so far down the road yet that it's got its teeth in him all the way. You know, maybe he just needs some accountability and some prayer. But maybe he does need some a support group. And he needs somebody to begin to peel some layers away from his life that he's built up. Why is he doing? Why did he get into it?
Yeah.
I could see it.
And be careful who you tell, but if you've got a pastor who understands grace, go to him, and he can help. And you're forgiven. That takes the obsessiveness out of it, but you got to stop it.
Because
it's just, you just don't need this.
It's a crazy thing. Oh, yeah, long run. It's like any addiction. But long run, it plays itself out. It turns around on you. It'll kill you, and it'll kill your family.
I was speaking in a church this past weekend for a conference, and I was talking about pornography. And I said, statistics show that 1 in 3 guys, and that includes in the church,
mm-hmm.
have that addiction. And then I said, if you're sitting between 2 guys and you look to the left and one is pure, to the right and he's pure, then you're it. And, I made it light.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of guys. I mean, you have no idea that came up. Some of them would say, I got a friend who's, and others would say, oh, Steve, I got, that's bad. And we need to be a church where we can be honest with each other about these sort of things and find somebody to be honest with, and with whom to be honest.
As pervasive as pornography is in our culture, so is gambling.
It really is.
It has grown. All the barriers have been taken off of those things.
All right, that's enough. If a friend, I have no idea who you are. If you want to write a letter that is not anonymous, the letter says your company name, Main Street, your city, state, and zip. If you would like to send me a letter and put your name on it. I'll get back to you, and we can talk a little bit.
Mm.
And trust me, I'm not good enough to throw rocks at you, so you can drop a note, and I'll make sure that the staff person gets the letter to me.
Yeah, right.
Or to Pete. Like you don't have a whole church full of people that you gotta deal with. Why? This is from Texas. Why did God create the world and put us in it?
Oh, that's a big question, isn't it? Does the Bible ever answer that? Let me throw it back in. Does the Bible ever say this is why God created the world?
Of course.
Why?
Throughout. He created it for his own glory.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
And everywhere you turn in the Bible, you begin to realize, I've been reading the Psalms in my morning devotional time, and the more you read the Psalms, the more you recognize that's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's for his name and for his sake and for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand that, you understand why you're addicted. You understand why life is so hard. You understand because you're trying to substitute for something you weren't created for.
Yeah. We're running away from for whom we were designed and running to those things for which we are not designed to identify us and fulfill us.
So this isn't our show.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
It's for him.
That's right. You've always been straightforward about that.
Well, you know, that does have amazing implications in the sense that people say, if I just had, or if I could just, then I will be satisfied, have meaning, and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those are religious questions. If I could just see my life as meaningful, mm-hmm. if I could do something big for God, all of those things lead to misery and emptiness.
I do, because most often we're really saying, if I do this for God, but for me is really the implication, I'll feel good.
Yeah, you know? It's really true. It's like trying to, you know, like the guy that wrote to the company and asked for the plans to a rowboat, and they sent him the plans for a birdhouse. You know, he's out trying to get this birdhouse to go out in the lake, and he just won't do it. That's why he's miserable. We weren't created to be a birdhouse. We were created to be a boat. And that boat is that God's name be honored in glorified.
Yeah, absolutely right. And you modeled, I remember that time you showed up at the General Assembly and they had rescheduled, this was years ago, our national denomination meeting. They scheduled you to speak and your plane was late or something like that.
Oh, they gave
you a long time.
They didn't tell me.
Yeah, they changed and you were saying, that's cool. And you were so relaxed. I was pulling my hair out. Say, we're Steve, you know, and you were cool. And,
I'm wonderful. I want everybody to I gotta go. Key Lights is a listener-supported production of Key Lights Network.